Cheers, everybody. We are back for another edition of Bourbon on a Budget. It is review time. We're glad to be with you again. This feels like TJ month. It's not TJ month, but what we're reviewing tonight certainly would have been a contender. But Brendan and I were trying to figure out what to review tonight, and he told me he had this, and I said, we're doing it. That's what we're doing. So, Brendan.
TJ.
I'm going to tell the people what we're reviewing tonight. Okay. We are reviewing Blue Notes Crossroads. It was on our long shot pack from last week. If you haven't heard that, go back to last Monday night, Tuesday morning's episode, depending on if you're a YouTuber or an Apple podcaster. Check out our long shot bourbons. We tasted some stuff from Jason Noe that they had sent us. We also gave our underrated bourbon list in honor of Rich Strike. We picked five whiskeys. We collaborated on a list of underrated bourbons that over deliver, much like Rich Strike winning the Kentucky Derby. Blue Notes Crossroads was my pick. I made the guys put that on the list. So here we are. We're reviewing it. Brendan, you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Boy, do I ever, TJ. Hey, I'm glad this wasn't part of TJ month because I think Ben and I totally would have guessed this pretty easily. So might as well have some drama when we get to TJ month. So the Blue Note Crossroads is a straight bourbon whiskey. The little spin on it, the reason why it's very TJ-esque is that it's finished in toasted French oak. Now help me out with this, fellas. We were told the story, the background of it when we did our Blue Note store pick. I don't think it's in a French oak cask. I think it's staves, but it doesn't really specify that on the bottle. Do you recall which one it is? I can't find the information of it anywhere online right now as I'm looking.
I'm pretty sure that's right. Okay. Yeah. They basically just put staves in a big vat.
Okay.
Kind of let it age a little bit.
All right. So this is a 100 proof whiskey. It's about $40. So you're getting some finishing going on, decent proof at $40. The mash bill is 60% corn, 36% rye, so high rye, 4% malted barley. And the Blue Note Crossroads motif is kind of like the crossroads with the devil went down to Georgia, but I guess this is Memphis with the guy on the bottle as a guitar and sells a soul to play guitar, maybe, I think, right? Does that sound right? That sounds right.
Yeah, looking for a soul to steal.
Yeah, there you go. And so it's sourced, but it's crafted in Memphis by the fine folks at Blue Note. So that's what I got.
We did our Blue Note pick. Obviously, that was much higher proofed at 119. Those were the Survivor barrels. I like this a lot. I've raved on it. I love the 100 proof. I love the toasted finish. It doesn't taste super, super young, which I like. I know that sometimes your smaller, your craft distillery stuff can taste pretty young. I think this is good. Ben, I'll start with you. What do you think on the nose here?
Yeah, to me, there definitely is a craft feel, or at least a craft vibe with this. I don't know.
I think that comes through on the nose for sure.
Okay. That's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, man, I kind of get a little craftiness with that, you know? Yeah, not as like caramel, more grain forward. I think they're kind of just tempering that with a little bit of those staves, but I think it's a pretty pleasant nose. You do get yeah, I don't know, man. This isn't selling it to me too much on the nose.
There's not a predominant for me. I think I'm gonna try to jump in like with what I think you're experiencing, because for me, I'm not getting a certain pronounced
toast. Yeah, I'm not getting a marshmallow or
definitely no toast, but even just like picking out flavors on it. It's woody. It's not unpleasant though. It's more mild. It's got like the only thing that I could pick up, it's got like this nice, like almost like fresh kind of so fresh and so clean kind of vibe to it. Like it's got this kind of like it's not rye spicy in that sense, but there's like the spice and that herbliness that would come with rye. The only note I can really detect, like say this is what I put my finger on, is like a green apple. So I'm struggling to like really pull a lot out of it here other than just those sensations.
All right, on to taste. Yeah, I don't think the nose is remarkable. It's not bad by any means, but the nose is the least remarkable part of this bourbon, for what it's worth. Like, mm-hmm. my take. I really like this, yeah. but I don't think the nose, you're picking on anything, like, otherworldly by any means.
It's very average, which is fine. Mm-hmm. It's a $40 bourbon, so taste, though, is where I think you start getting into some of the pleasant stuff, right?
Yeah, you start to like it a little bit more. Mm. Taste, you do pick up some more of the toasty notes, a little bit more of the traditional caramel, the sweetness that comes in. It does, I mean, you're still right. Like, there is still, like, that crafty vibe to it, but it's not, like, a super young vibe. I think this has also got some...
I feel like I'm tasting a little bit of, like, oxidation here. Like, if you look at my bottle or TJ's bottle, that's all I got left.
I don't know. That bottle's only, like, 3 weeks old. So I don't...
Oh, what? Geez. You did that in 3 weeks?
Maybe a month. Maybe a month.
Yeah.
When did we do our release?
I mean, that's a huge...
Oh, that was a while
that's
ago.
That's huge, TJ. Man. That's a big difference.
Yeah, but, I mean, but it was a lot last night. Or there was, like, I took, like, 2 or 3 pours out of it last night, too, so...
I mean, your pores aren't half a bottle.
Dude, that 2 or 3 pours a night, though, will add up. So on the flavor, I am getting, TJ mentioned sweet. I'm getting like a very just like pure raw sugary vibe to it. And then a ton of honey, like a nice like floral honey note. And so very pleasant in that regard. Very sweet, which TJ is our little sweet whore. It makes sense that he would adore this. It definitely... skews very, very, very favorably towards the sweet side of the spectrum.
I think there is some spice going on here. I don't think it's like super spicy. What did you say? It's a higher rye, 36% rye.
36, yeah.
Yeah. So I do think there's some spice there. I don't think it's like let your mouth on fire or anything crazy like that. But I don't know, like a cinnamon-ish.
Clove, kind of nutmeg, baking spices. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can kind of pick some of that up too. I think it's got kind of a complex taste. I also think it's very, it's got a lot of viscosity. Great word. It's thick. It's oily. I think it's oily. I don't think it's as oily as some of the stuff we had last week that Jason sent us. It's like 180 proof. But I do think that this has got some good thickness on it too. Like I think, and maybe that's from the toasted French oak. It's also probably a little bit because it's 100 proof. But I do. I like the oil. I like the mouthfeel on this. Brendan, do you like that or not really? Do you hate it?
Mouthfeel. No, I was going to say. So we don't have an age statement on this. I imagine it's younger, just based on there not being an age statement.
And, I think it'd be under 4 years here.
Yeah, I would guess so too, Ben, just given the price point on it too. But this is what's so cool about finishing. I mean, last week we did the Bull Run, which was like a 13-year light whiskey that was aged in Pinot Noir. This is aged with the oak stave. It adds this level of complexity that you wouldn't usually get at that perceived age. It just changes the drink drastically. And in this case, it gives it a nice level of like heftiness, viscosity, like he just said, and then that sweetness too. It's really balanced in that regard and nice. It's pleasant, very pleasant.
Finish?
Kind of.
Yeah, it's so it's bitter to me.
It is a little. There's a little bit of wood tannickiness to it. I am getting tannins.
Tenacious
D.
Destiny. Oh, Destiny. Child. Destiny's Child. Tastes like a child in a glass.
Oh gosh.
Oh no. And we're canceled. fitting that we mentioned Tenacious D, given that it's the crossroads and you know the whole. Play the best song in the world or steal your soul. Something like that. It's been a while since I've listened to that.
That went down to Georgia.
Well, that was not quite. Different song.
A little bit of spice on the finish. I think some of that rye shows back up. I think that, what do we have here? Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, the rye shows back up. You get a little bit of the toasted French oak.
I have no faith in TJ to not be inappropriate. I'm glad that we just keep on moving. Yep, keep moving.
Just waiting down the street.
Keep on moving.
Okay, talk about the finish, Brendan.
It's good. It is, like Ben said, it does have a little bit of that tannickiness to it. Get us back on track, as I was before I started going to Tenacious D and Destiny's Child and all sorts of stuff. Anyways, it does have sweetness, though. I think the toastiness does come off on the finish to a nice degree there. So it is a little on the thinner side. The 100 proof isn't super prevalent. It's fine. It's a very, like, solid average finish to me. Ben?
I would agree. I don't think it's like that. Like it finishes a little bitter to me, but it's not like heavy. I feel like it's just, it's not. Yeah. I feel like it's a little heavy on the bitter side. And so I feel like it's sitting, there is a finish. It just finishes a little bitter for me.
Bitter. So going back to the as
bitter,
opening
I
up.
I barely know her.
I got an email today asking why do people bite during sex. I have not read it yet, but I'm interested. Yeah. I don't do a ton of biting, but yeah, I guess.
247 sends you all the weirdest emails, but go ahead.
Unsubscribe. Anyways, as this has opened up a little bit, as I take one more sip out of it, that mouthfeel that TJ has alluded to, the actual like flavor, the mid palate, and the initial flavor you get as well is really solid. It's going to score highly for me there. This is a very pleasant, drinkable, enjoyable.
Yeah, on taste, it's probably around a 4 for me.
Okay. All right. Calm down there. Easy there.
All right. Let's rate it so we can get on with our evenings. 2 points for nose, 4 for finish.
I'm sorry, 4 for taste, 1 for finish, Ben. 1 for finish. 6.
The one time he didn't.
1 for cohesiveness and complexity, 2 for value. 2 points for the nose. I'll give this a 1. I never go first. I'll go 1 here. I think the nose is very average. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's good. Just average.
Yep. I'm with you totally, TJ, and I'm in agreement there. Very average.
Cockman. Yeah. Cockman. Average. This is a very average bottle to me. I don't know if I'd be picking this up.
Maybe we shouldn't have put this in our underdog one just because TJ kind of forced us to.
I'm going to actually take a sip of this Blue Note store pick that we picked.
There you go.
Just compare it just as a quick little side-by-side.
Oh, God. It's going to be a brutal.
Yeah.
Taste, you get 4 points for this one. So, known.
2.75. It's well above average. I don't know if it's starting to push like the great range, but very good. So, 2.75. And you could convince me to go up to 3 if you really, really push for it. But
I'll go 3. I'm a little bit of a homer on this. I do like the 3. Viscosity. I like the mouthfeel. The taste on this is the best part of it, right? And that's typically what you're going to get with a $40 bourbon, right? Not an elite nose, not an elite finish, but the taste is where this shines. And I think it does that really, really well.
You got to choose part of something. You can't be great or really good at all levels.
Yeah. So taste is what this does well. And I'll give it a 3. I think that's fair.
2.5.
2.5. That's not very good, but it's above average.
I was gonna say, if Ben went with a 3, I would just get pressured into going up with a 3. But yeah, that'd be crazy. Who would do that?
Finish out of 1. Ben.
Point 0.7. Oh, 0.25.
Ooh, Ben does not like it. He does not
Brandon.
Like it. 0.5.
I'm just drinking our Blue Note beside it.
Kick its ass.
Yeah, it's way better.
Yeah.
Well, it's 20 more proof, you know? So it doesn't.
And it's zero old. More dollars.
Also harder to find.
Super rare. Are you shit talking our store pick?
Yeah, it sucks. like you guys all did when I drafted it. Cohesiveness and complexity. Brendan.
0.75. It's certainly cohesive. I guess the nose being a little funky, I'll give it a little bit of extra for the complexity that it's unique in that regard. I'm being a little aggressive with the 0.75, but I was low on the taste, so it's evening out.
Yeah, I'll go 0.75 here as well. I think it is cohesive, maybe slightly complex, you know, just with mostly just with the flavor. I think with the flavor, you did get the spice because it's high rye. You got the toasted French, which is different. You got the viscosity, the oiliness. It's 100 proof, so it gives you a little bit of a burn. So I don't think the nose or the finish again are especially complex, but the taste is. The taste is complex enough for me to give it a little point there. If we were doing 8 points, this would be a 0.625 or 0.625 for sure. But we're not. Just round up to 0.75. Ben.
You gotta unmute.
I was gonna let him. I was gonna let him keep going for like his long. Like just sit there.
0.5.
0.5 for Ben. All right. So going into value, I've got this at a 5.25 out of 8. Brendan has this at a 5, and Ben has this at a 4.25. So for Ben, it's just slightly above average. At an average
price, it's the most average of average.
You've got it slightly above average, 4.25 out of 8. So that's simple.
It's technically true. Yeah, correct.
Simple Freakonomics. Mm. Brendan and I have this a little higher, right? We actually were spot on with all of our ratings except for taste. I was slightly a bit higher. So I'll get this well in the above average, you know, not elite. I think, you know, our variance is kind of like 6 is bordering on elite, but I got this above average at a 5.25. Yeah. Brendan with a 5. $40 bottle. Can find this most places. I wouldn't say on every single store shelf, but this is not incredibly difficult to find. Anywhere you can kind of find Blue Note, you should be able to find this. 2 points for value. Ben's going to kill this. So what you got?
0..
Oh, wow.
Well, Ben. Hey,
I guess I'll just do one.
Okay. Do one. But we did Knob Creek a couple weeks ago, and Ben was at a 5.25 going into value there and gave it a 1.5. So one seems reasonable when he was going to the point range.
He was going to the point. I was like, whoa. But yeah, if you can get like an average bottle for an average price.
For what it is, you know?
Yeah. I think that's what the value score should be. It's average. I think that's...
Yeah.
Ben was abnormally high on that Knob Creek going into value, just for what it's worth. He is.
Oh, he was.
He was at a 5. He was at a 5.25, and you and I were both below 5.
That's got to be one of the very few times where
Ben was. Few times that he was like abnormally high.
I need to start drinking Knob Creek now. That's what that says to me.
Sounds disgusting. Brendan,
I will go with. I mean, it's definitely surpassing a 1 for me. I'm hemming and hawing here. Let's see. I mean, so it is an above average, not a whole lot more, but it is an above average whiskey at an average price. So, you know, I'll go 1 point. You know, I like the folks at Blue Note, 1.5.
Ooh, I like it. Yeah, I think that's fair. This is something that I really like. And so I think I'm going to go 1.5. I was at 4.75 on the Knob Creek going into value, and I gave that a 1.25. So this is a better value. Right, like I think that you're getting more for the same price here. So 1.5 for me too, which takes me up to a 6.75. Brendan with a 6.5 and Ben with a 5.25. 6.16, or just call it 6.2. Doesn't quite make the big board. Well, actually it does, whatever the heck that bottom one is up there. But
it needs to be updated. That's Old Scout.
It's
it
the
barely
same...
beat Old Scout.
Yeah, it's the same exact final score, aggregate score as the Knob Creek.
You know what? Different strokes for different folks. I think that's reasonable.
I think that makes sense. Roughly the same value as Knob Creek, but try something different.
See, we get like to the 6 range. It, like for Ben, like we just had a 5. That, to me, that's like, if it's in my collection, fine. I'm not telling anyone to go out and get it. When you say to 6, like some people would enjoy it, right? And I think that's kind of where we're at. For some people, TJ, someone likes the sweetness.
Yeah.
It's probably
this
worth
is not in my collection.
For Ben, not his cup of tea. Not his glass of bourbon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So I'm glad we did that, though. That's a solid value for what it is, for the price point. Different. So yeah, it's good.
Especially when you can get up in that 6 range and you're only spending $40, right? Yeah. If you get a 6 for $80, that's a big risk. That's a big, big risk. 40 is about the lowest that most people are spending on bourbon, right? And so I think that's kind of where that it ends up being a good value is, you know, you're not risking a lot with this one.
Here's where we get to like value proposition, though. Ben's ears are going to perk up here. Like if you go to 1910 for like $60, $55, like what would you rather spend the extra $15 to $20 on a 1910 toasted finish?
I think I don't like that reference. I don't like the $15 to $20. That's saying I will buy 2 bottles as opposed to 3 bottles. Like, it's just $15, but it's like on a percentage basis, it's like 50% more, you know.
Well, if someone were to offer you two bottles of 1910 or three bottles of the Crossroads.
Oh, me? I probably would say keep your bottles and give me 1920.
Fair point.
Yeah, yeah,
remember your audience. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I think that's a good question.
Thank you.
What would your answer be? I don't know. 1910, the biggest problem with 1910 is it's a little bit sweeter than this to me. It's better. Like, it's objectively better. A little sweeter, a little lower proof. I don't know. I don't have a great answer for that. If it's my last day on earth, I'm on death row. What's your last drink of bourbon? I'm probably picking the 1910 over the Crossroads.
Okay. So what are we talking
about? I mean, that's not even close to the question at all.
Yeah, it's not. You definitely dramatized that.
Your last day on earth and you're reaching for 1910. Wow.
TJ sold
if I'm only between those two. If I'm only between those two.
If it's your last day on earth and you're only offered two bourbons. Jeez,
and also we're like factoring price, so money's not going to really be consequential when you're about to die.
Man, you're going freaking Pappy 23 and then just pouring it out, staring at somebody.
Oh boy. I think for me, like, I a 25-30% different in cost. Like, I know where my money's going in that regard, and I'd rather spend a little bit more for something that, like, this is fine to me. I'd rather have something that I know I'm enjoying, like, the entire process through. So but hey, this isn't a bad option by any means. It's just not great, but it's solid.
1910 is always available at ABC, so you always get the points for that. This is not at ABC, so that would actually factor in.
Tiebreaker.
Yeah,
I always have a bottle of 1910 in my collection, available, ready to go. It's probably what I'll pour after this. So probably 1910. But this would beat out any of the, like, almost anything else in that $40 range, Elijah Craig, you know, all of that stuff. It's probably beaten out all the.
Well, Maker's Mark
is different.
46.
See, this would be interesting up against Maker Mark 46. Not the cast strength, but just the regular.
The regular,
yeah, right?
The price point's about the same. Yeah,
that would be interesting.
I would say, you know, the 46 will crush. It'll be mashed potatoes.
I think Ben is
low proof. I'm not sure.
I think Ben's intuition's probably correct there.
I think he's wrong.
Potatoes.
Sounds like a future episode.
Nah, we already killed this bottle. Once Ben buys a bottle of it, then we can do it. Until then,
okay, so we're just gonna not gonna buy another bottle.
We're just gonna assume that the other one was better. Hey, go back to Tuesday's episode if you haven't checked it out yet, where we sommeliered Forrest. Forrest came back and hung out with us for a little bit. We sommeliered Forrest. We are trying to learn more about his whiskey journey. So go see if you enjoy that. If you do, great. If not, go to hell. For TJ Pittenger, Brendan Sinone, and Ben Koch,
Forrest.
Cheers.
Play me the best song in the world or I'll steal your soul.
Play the best song in the world or I'll eat your soul.
You know that was on point.
What?
That's more like Adam Sandler.